Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us on this broadcast as we face issues each and every day. And when we talk about facing issues, if you just think for a moment, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them to talk about, especially in an era in which we're living, where it seems that there's no normal anymore. In fact, Dr. Fauci said a few weeks back that we will probably never get back to what is called normal. And I can certainly understand that statement. In fact, Dr. Fauci says we should never shake hands again. Dr. Fauci says it would probably be wise to continue to wear a mask into the future. Dr. Fauci says that some of these things that we've counted as normal in years gone by will never be normal again, not even those things that we find that we refer to as the normal in the United States of America. I don't know about you, but that's slightly disconcerting to me, and the realization and the recognition that we still have a biblical foundation. There's still a philosophical foundation. We still have a real foundation in our Constitution. And yet we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights have been eviscerated with the mindset and the attitude that the socialist, Marxist, terrorist thugs should be in charge of our nation. We're going to be talking about today, what is normal? What is normal? How do we go back to determine what is normal? Is it normal to have CHOP zones or CHAZ zones or terrorist, Marxist, thuggery zones in the United States of America? Is it normal to have mayors and governors that refuse to allow the federal government to send in federal law enforcement to protect our nation's cities? Is it normal to have the philosophy and the mindset that we're simply going to allow the thugs, as in Seattle, Washington, and up in Portland, Oregon, that they're simply going to run the cities and take over the control of state and federal buildings and do so for over 53 days now? What is normal? We'll talk about that today in our broadcast. But I want to remind us as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And the Scripture points out truth. It was Jesus that said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He made that statement to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then he states very directly in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So it's the truth of the word of God that makes the difference in the world today. And I commend that to you. It's called the Bible. It is the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, it is the truth book. In fact, in Psalms 33:12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the, if you please, the point of truth. That ought to be the focus that we have, is to recognize that God's going to bless the nation whose God is the Lord. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be so relevant and true today in society. If you don't believe that, just see what Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC, and Joe Biden, and others are saying and doing today, and calling it truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I don't know of any wiser statement that could be made than to admonish us to be faithful as Christians. This is the reason it's so difficult today to get on the same page with so many in society, is because the aversion to truth. And it is the truth book that we should look at and see what God says is the order of the day for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff that's knowledgeable to answer your questions about landscape lawn care equipment as well as power generation backup equipment for the hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine, or that's 11291 Old St. Augustine, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At that intersection, you'll find a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find that flagpole. To the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any other way to state it other than the fact that we're in a quagmire as a nation. We're at a point that I've talked about for the past several times in relationship to America being at the tipping point. You know, you can get to a point in place where the pendulum has gone so far in one direction that it's the tipping point, and there's no turning back so often when a society gets to those levels. You found that with the Roman Empire, that it got to the tipping point. And as a result of that, the Roman Empire imploded internally, not from an outside force, but internal implosion. What is normal for today? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have already heard the news that has hit Jacksonville. President Trump has just canceled the Republican convention for Jacksonville. The convention is not going to be held here in the city. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Why? Why did President Trump summarily cancel the event less than a month away? President Trump says that he was concerned about the COVID-19. He was concerned about the mask and the protection of our citizens. Yet for those who know the backstory, for those that recognize this for what it is, we realize two or three things, and let me just share those with you, because there is a rumble all over our city and county, and perhaps across the state of Florida, because we'd look forward to this event. A battle behind the scenes with the liberal Democrat, the president of the city council, Tommy Azzurri. Tommy Azzurri has the mayor eating out of his hand, and yet we have a mayor that's supposed to be a conservative Republican. But Tommy Azzurri, being the city council president, was against the president coming to Jacksonville. Tommy Azzurri has been very open and verbal and vocal about his discontent with the president coming to Jacksonville, Florida. The city council introduced a bill, in fact, at his behest and leadership. It is City Council Bill 2020-399, and this bill was to be voted on next Tuesday. And the bill, basically, the essence of the bill was whether or not to ask the president to cancel the convention for Jacksonville or to authorize it completely. That was the goal of the bill. And Dean Black, which is the REC chairman for the city of Jacksonville, the Duval County, has just sent out, in fact, it just hit the wires day before yesterday, where Dean Black had sent out a notice to the Republicans and the citizens in Jacksonville, Florida, asking everyone, quote, to call your city council member, ask them to vote yes on the bill to allow Jacksonville to host the GOP convention in our city. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just read you, for the benefit of time, just a blurb from this. This article from the Duval County GOP, Dean Black, the REC chair. We need your help. Tell the city council to vote yes on 2020-399. It is time to make our voices heard at city council. In a few short weeks, the Republican National Convention will be held in our great city. Some are trying to stop this historic movement from occurring for one simple reason. They don't like President Donald J. Trump. Worse, they want to vote against the city having the resources required to keep our city safe and secure during the convention. A vote on this in the city council is imminent. Contact your city council member today. Tell them to vote yes on Ordinance 2020-399 for allowing the Republican National Convention to be held in our city. Tell city council that you want the Republican National Convention to stay in Jacksonville. You want our city to have the resources to ensure the convention is safe and secure for all people in our city. Ladies and gentlemen, the basis of the ordinance that was to be voted on next Tuesday would simply deny the funds to be made available for the having the resources to secure and to protect during the course of the convention to be held. I am absolutely saddened by it, but ladies and gentlemen, it points out the power brokers behind the scene in our city, where we have those that are in a position of not wanting this to be hosted here and were successful in having it canceled. And I believe President Trump preempted what he knew would be the end result, rather than waiting and letting the citizens in Jacksonville via the city council say no. President Trump decided he'd say no first, and I'm in agreement with his strategy in doing so. But ladies and gentlemen, they were opining the fact that they felt that we didn't have enough funds to do the proper security for our city. Nevertheless, 47 sheriffs across the state of Florida have already volunteered to have some of their officers to come into the city and assist with that. They'd already been assured by the federal government that the federal Secret Service and other officers would be here to give security and protection for our city. They'd already assured the city of Jacksonville about $100 million to take care of the cost of security for the convention. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find that it is out now completely. Now, yes, I understand. I agree. There would have been difficulties in our city, especially in the general area where the convention would be held. Every time there's a convention, whether it's Republican or Democrat, you find the rats coming out of the closet, the thugs that are wanting to tear down, destroy, and burn the city down. But I believe that we were wrong in allowing our leaders to do what we have watched in our city now over the past few days. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America is about 100 days. We have about 100 days as American citizens. We have about 100 days to make a determination of what kind of nation we want. We have about 100 days for voters to determine, do we want a constitutional republic to continue, or do we want to have a socialist, Marxist dictatorship leadership in the United States of America? That's the bottom line. That is where we stand. Those are the issues that we're faced with. And we're going to be talking about a number of these issues today, ladies and gentlemen. We are privileged to have and delighted to have on our show today, Let's Face the Issues, Congressman from District 1, the State of Florida House of Representatives, Mike Hill. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And your monologue at the beginning of the broadcast was right on target. You hit all the issues that are important to us today.
One of the things that we find, Congressman, is so many that seemingly are in a position to be strong and stand up for the protection of America, have somehow, some way, hidden in the closet or hidden under the bed, and it seems as though what I call the good guys are silent and allowing these things to take place. I find it egregious with their sworn oath to our Constitution to do what they need to do and what they're elected to do and put in position to protect our nation. Congressman, again, thank you for being with us. It's always my delight. And I say this openly to our listeners today. I have, I believe, the greatest privilege a person could have of being able to have dialogue and communication with you on the issues that I am so passionate about and that our nation's leaders, including those conservative leaders in the state of Florida, ought to be passionate about and take a stand on. So, Congressman, as we start today, let me just simply do a broad brush thought for us to throw out and allow you to respond to. What is your position on the GOP cancellation of the convention for Jacksonville, Florida? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it something that should have happened? Or do you think that there's some other, how would you say, demons in the closet that perhaps I'm even not aware of?
Well, overall, I thought it was bad that it was canceled, Dr. Youngblood. And I understand why President Trump did it. And I think one reason why he may have done it, as you said, was to preempt what they were going to do, the city council.
Yes.
But also, because of the recent spike in the number of COVID cases, even though it's amazing that they're focusing on just the number of positive cases and they're no longer talking about the number of deaths that are happening, but if that convention had taken place and there was even a small number of COVID cases which came at that convention, the Democrats are trying their best right now to say that this is President Trump's COVID-19. He owns it. It belongs to him. Even though they tried to prevent him from doing things in the early stages, such as stopping flights from China coming in, they ridiculed him about that and even called him racist. But now they're trying to say it is his pandemic. And if that convention had gone on and there had been even a small number of cases, that's what they would have tied around his neck. See, this is President Trump's pandemic. So even though I didn't like that it was canceled, I think it was smart for him to do that. I don't think it's going to hurt him at all in terms of his election opportunities. I believe President Trump is going to win in a landslide.
I am in your corner, and I am thankful for that observation. Let me say this, and talking about the COVID-19, and I'm glad you brought that up because we wanted to discuss it during today's broadcast at some point. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called honesty and truthfulness in relationship to what is taking place in our nation with that which is called COVID-19. I find it antithetical to what anybody would call truth in relationship to the reporting. I'm looking at an article here, Congressman. It says, so now that Trump has said hospitals need to report numbers to the White House instead of the CDC, the CDC just came out and said they made another mistake. This is not but about the fourth or fifth one now they've admitted. Another mistake in Florida. And they've also been counting pneumonia and flu as COVID, dropping their number from approximately 90,000 to only 11,000. And the article says, so many mistakes. Wonder why. When they find that they're not just reporting to the CDC, and CDC's already admitted half a dozen different times that they've miscalculated, they've mis-evaluated, and they have miscounted. And so in some fashion, it's just showing now the truth of what's been taking place, as you realize, and I'm sure you're familiar with, where one of the major hospital administrative groups in the state of Florida had to recalculate their numbers and brought it down dramatically when they discovered how they were counting the COVID cases. What is your response to that, and what do you find is the reality? What I'm saying is, we have so, if we can use my little country boy term, we've so bamboozled the public that the public is operating in a state of confusion and hysteria and fear as to what to believe and what not to believe, because so many voices that's talking about so many things and each one being different. How should we view that? What should we do as citizens in the state of Florida?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you're absolutely right on those numbers. They're finding that the number of cases which actually were COVID-19 is about one-tenth of what they were reporting. And even with numbers like that, the inflated numbers, I looked at some numbers earlier this week, and it showed in Florida that 3 million of people have been tested for COVID-19. And of the 3 million, there was 300,000 positive cases. So about one-tenth of the 3 million came back positive cases. Now they're showing that 300,000 should probably be only around 30,000. But let's leave it at 300,000 for now. Okay, of that 300,000 in Florida, when I read the report earlier this week, there were 5,000 deaths. I think there are a little over 5,000 now. So of the total number of people tested, 3 million, and then those who tested positive, 300,000, and we have 5,000 deaths. If you divide those 5,000 deaths by the total number of positive cases, which again are skewed, they're inflated by that 300,000, that is 0.01%, 0.0167% of the population died of those who tested positive with the inflated numbers. So the reaction to what they're even calling a pandemic, it's a very real disease and it's serious to those Yes. who do catch it and those who have comorbidities. I mean, it's a very serious, terrible thing. But the reaction to it has been way overblown to the point where I'm not sure what they're doing in Jacksonville, but here in Pensacola, the mayor of the city of Pensacola declared that you cannot enter a government building or a business establishment unless you have a mask on. And he and the rest of the leftist Pensacola city councilor are trying to pressure Escambia County commissioners to put that mask demand on the entire county. And it's not needed. It's not necessary. What we should do instead is let the business community Yes. function the best way they know how, because they are. Businesses have been reacting. They've been doing the social distancing, however effective that might be. They're wearing the mask. They're doing all the sanitizing because they don't want to have their customers affected. So we should let business and people operate and respond the best way, and not with dictates and demands from government.
And especially, Congressman, when you analyze, and I've gone online and done the research with CDC and with OSHA as to what mask is best to wear, and mostly not aware of the fact that even with CDC, when they outlined the COVID, I mean the 95 mask and the regular mask and the others, there's about three different major categories. With the CDC and with OSHA, especially with OSHA. OSHA goes through each of those masks. It determines what it can do and what it cannot do, and its harm to the person that's wearing the mask and the non-reality of thinking that you're going to stop the spread of a pathogen like COVID-19 with a mask on. In fact, it is harmful for the system, for the individual breathing through it and rebreathing carbon dioxide rather than fresh oxygen coming in, and it's not been proven in any scenario where it stops or prevents. In fact, on the OSHA website, on one of the articles about it, it says to wear a mask thinking you'll stop the pathogen is like thinking that you can put a chain link fence around your face and prevent the pathogen from getting in. It was a pretty vivid illustration that was used. But here's one of the things that I find as an affront to citizens and our Bill of Rights and the issues that I hold so dear in relationship to the truth of the Word of God, and that each of us individually are accountable before God. And yet there is a mindset behind the dictatorship approach between what is the leftists, what I call the loose lax lost liberals, and those that are wanting to overthrow the Constitution of the United States of America, is the way that they're forcing people to comply. As you are aware, I spent a few days in the hospital a couple of weeks ago for having an appendix removed. About 11:30 that Monday night, stood there in the emergency room with the physicians and the nurses, and they had gone through the testing and determined that by their scan that, yes, you've got an appendix that's already starting to perforate. It needs to come out. And I said, let's do it. He said, well, we'll do it tonight or tomorrow. And so the nurse spoke up, said, we'll need to do a COVID test on you first. And I said, not on me, you're not. And she looked a little odd. And I said, you cannot in any way counter my rights biblically and through the Bill of Rights. You can't intervene or in any way contravene my 4th and 14th Amendment rights in particular to force me to have a COVID-19 test. And she said, well, and the doctor had just gotten through standing there and saying that I need to have the surgery or it could kill me. His words. I said, so what you're telling me is, they said, we're just simply not going to do the surgery if you don't do the test. I said, so what you're doing is that you're pressuring me, you're going to force me to go against my will and my desires. You're going to force me to have a COVID-19 test or you're simply going to let me die. Is that what you're telling me? And the nurse looked at the doctor, and the doctor looked at me, and she said, without the COVID-19 test, we will not do the surgery. I said, then you're telling me that you're going to force me to have a COVID-19 test or let me die. I said, look to the nurse, and I said, why do you think that I might have COVID-19? Well, your heart rate's up. I said, that's due to the pain. You have a shortness of breath. I said, that's due to the pain. And she just went through the whole litany. I said, you really hope that you can rate me as COVID? I said, let me tell you, I am familiar with what happens in our hospitals with the mega major increase in funding from the federal government if each one that you rate that checks in as COVID-19. I said, go ahead and do the test. And they did the test. And he said, well, it'll take about 2 hours. And I said, no. I said, the test that you have here in this hospital takes about 30 minutes or less. I said, I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours in pain wondering what you're going to do. And so, sure enough, about 28 minutes, they came back, said, you tested negative. I said, you so hoped that it would be positive, didn't you? And the nurse just turned around and walked out. But what they're doing is they're forcing the test. In fact, yesterday morning, you perhaps are familiar with it, our governor was on national news with Fox News being interviewed, and he said, I am greatly concerned, or vastly concerned, over the way testing's being done and the results coming back. And he's touched on it and verbalized what I'd already talked about earlier, was the fact that a young man here in the state of Florida, 20 years old, had a motorcycle wreck, rushed to the emergency room. He ultimately died. They rated his death as being COVID-19 because of a motorcycle wreck. We're finding mega major numbers. And here's the thing, Congressman, that I want you then to respond to in relationship to that. We're increasing the number of tests. We're increasing, as a result of that, the number that tests positive. I talked with someone just yesterday. They were talking about the numbers. I said, out of that number that tested positive, how many is in the hospital? None. How many is on a medication for COVID-19? None. How many of them in some fashion are taking any medication or any what you would call prophylactic benefit to prevent getting worse? None. They've just been ordered to stay at home 14 days. So most are not aware of the fact that the same pathogen tracing track that is in the common cold, that is also in pneumonia and the general flu, is the same pathogen tracing that you find in COVID-19. What do we say in relationship to that? I'm a little uptight when it comes to what the government is forcing the citizens to do, to continue this rage and this panic and this hysteria and this fear. Yes, people are dying from it, but it is nothing compared to what we've seen in history past in America with different pathogens. We've never done this in our nation.
Dr. Youngblood, first of all, I want to applaud you and say bravo for the way you stood up to those at the hospital. And you're absolutely right. I have heard of those reports where the hospital gets paid more if it's a COVID patient as opposed to someone with just the flu or even pneumonia. They get paid vastly more for that. And the fact that you stood up to that, I want to applaud you. What I would say, what we are witnessing and is becoming more and more obvious, Dr. Youngblood, is that the reaction to this is simply an attempt to hurt the economy and hurt President Trump's reelection abilities. That's what this is all about. And I think it is also trying to set the stage for a demand that we all take the COVID vaccine. And like you, Dr. Youngblood, I refuse and I will not take the COVID vaccine. Right now, I don't wear a mask. When I go up to an establishment and they say, you can't come in without it, then I just leave. I can order things online nowadays.
That's right. That's exactly where I stand on it, and I commend you for that. I'm very, very saddened to see more and more of our political leadership that's bowing to the demands that we recognize anybody that's got good sense, as I call it, will recognize the focus of this is to bring about hysteria and fear. And in my most humble opinion, when it comes just a few days before the election, it's going to be declared by Nancy Pelosi and others on a national level that it's too dangerous to go out and vote. So we must vote online or by mail. That's where it's headed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be back in just a moment with Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, the state of Florida.
Conservative.edu.